Are you ready to meet the Lord?
Amen.
I can tell you when he's coming. Soon. In an hour when you think not. But he's coming. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for those who are his. Those who are ready. Those who are looking for him. He shall return a second time without sin unto salvation. So be ready. Amen. To meet the Lord. This is a time of preparation. We're being prepared as a bride is adorned for her bridegroom. And the bridegroom is coming at the appointed time of the Father. When the Father says, Son, go get my children. Amen. So that's the time that we're supposed to be watching for. Amen. Because we don't know when it's going to be, but he did say we need to watch and to pray. That we be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. So, well, you may think you have another 7 years or whatever it might be, but we don't know that, do we? One way or another, we're going to see Jesus Christ, amen? Every knee will bow to him. Everyone has an appointment with the Lord. And how about bowing now? How about getting ready now? Being in right standing now? That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we could be right with him. So our sins could be forgiven. Aren't you glad that God offers us forgiveness of sins? If we come to him, amen, confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all. Everybody say all. Unrighteousness. All is a big word. All is a good word in that context. Amen. You know, we sing that song, I surrender all. You know, all is a big word. Do I really surrender all? How many know that's where life is? Isn't a surrendered life to him? So he can live in us and through us. Hallelujah. And that which you try to hold on to, you lose. But whatever you lose for his name's sake, amen. Whatever you give back and give away, you don't lose. So you give your life away, you'll find it. You'll find that he is your life. And you'll have an abundance one day, amen, in heaven. That's what the Lord told us to do. He said, don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth, right? All right, God's not saying that you don't take care of your family and take care of your business and things that you need to do, amen, to make sure that you're provided for. But he's saying that don't make that your priority. Make the kingdom your priority, and God will take care of the rest. Get things in right order, amen. Too many people are just pursuing things and stuff and, you know, and money and wealth and whatever this world can offer. But are we pursuing the kingdom? Are we pursuing the will of God for our lives? Is that our priority in life? And, you know, that's the only thing that's going to satisfy you is the will of God for you. It's the only thing that's going to fulfill you is living out the purpose of God for your life. Because this world will never truly satisfy us. How many have discovered that already? You've come to that place where you realize, yeah, the world really doesn't have it. You know, but we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. You know, and the Lord wants us to find rest in him. Find rest in him. The world is trying to offer us a fear burger. You know, a worry burger. Well, we ain't eating that, right? God serves the best. We're going to go and dine at his table. Hallelujah. Delight ourselves in him and have peace. Hallelujah. In the Lord. Because only the Lord's peace is able to keep you and guard your hearts and your minds and keep you from going crazy. You know, if it wasn't for the peace of God, I'd probably be bouncing off a room somewhere right now. You know, my wife may disagree with that, but, you know, it's, but the Lord is the one who guards our hearts and our minds. Guys, there's no reason for a believer to get so stressed out that they lose their mind. Because God's peace is available to us 24/7. And you got to praise your way sometimes past the outer court, past yourself, past your problems, past your worries. Amen. Get into the glory. Get into the realm of peace. Amen. The God's peace into his presence. That's where you find it. And God wants us to abide or continue in him and in his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you today for the body of Christ, for the opportunity to be together, to gather in your name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are always present. You are always faithful, always here, always there with us, Lord. Wherever we find ourselves, you will always be with us, Lord. And we appreciate that, Lord. And we thank you that you have given us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, Lord, the teacher. And we ask you to teach us today. Holy Spirit, bring the things of Jesus to our remembrance, Lord, to our minds. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Part B. Part B of the verse. Let's read this together. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's read it again. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay. Hallelujah. So, you know, I touched a little bit about devil phobia and how if we're not careful, we can get caught up in this, you know, the devil here, the devil there, the devil's in the doorknob. You've heard that before. And, you know, but just getting kind of devil phobic and overreacting, I think, to things that happen in life. And I think that we need to be aware that we do have a real enemy. Okay. And he does have power. But back to what we spoke about a few weeks ago, he doesn't have the legitimate authority, though, as our Lord does, a man who has all authority in heaven and earth. And he has delegated that authority to you and I as his body. So as his people, we have been given authority by the Lord. As long as we stay under his authority, then we can exercise that authority. But the devil has been stripped of his armor, a panoply. Even could be relating it to a coat of armor. He no longer has that coat of armor. So he's exposed. He's an exposed foe. So when we think about the devil, it's healthy for us to understand who he really is and where he stands now in the whole scheme of things. And understand that the Lord has all authority, all right, in heaven and on earth, and that the enemy is on a short leash. He's on a short leash. So it's not like he's just running rampant and doing everything he can without some accountability. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because God is sovereign over all the earth. God uses and allows him to do things sometimes for always for his purposes to be accomplished. All right. God doesn't tempt us with sin, but sometimes God will allow a temptation to come so that we may be tested, we may be tried. All right. In that. And God is looking for user-friendly vessels. He's looking for someone that's going to cooperate with him, somebody he can trust, amen, with the greater riches. And if you need and you want authority in your life, then you have to submit to his authority and start where you're at right now, being obedient to whatever he's called you to do. If you can't be responsible in the little things, then don't expect God to give you the big things, right? So it's about being responsible for what God has entrusted to me. You know, utilizing what I already have, not always asking God for more, because the problem is often we're not doing anything with what we already have. We're not doing anything with what we already have. See, God wants you to start using what you already have. Be faithful in what you already have, what you've already been given. And so Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and that word destroy means to untie or unloose something. To unbind. So the Lord came to set captives free. The enemy binds people. Jesus came to loose them, to release them from captivity. And God calls you and I to partner with him in that mission of setting the captives free. Because of the anointing, because we're under the authority of God, we can be vessels that God will work through to set people free from the bonds of Satan. All right. So we partner with Jesus in his mission as we continue to do what the Lord began to do when he was here. When he went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit upon the church and he said, now I want you to go in my name. All right. And I want you to enforce what I've already accomplished. And so Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. He came to set the captives free, to unloose the bonds. All right. Of those who are enslaved by Satan. And we have to understand, and this is very healthy and very important, that we understand that we're dealing with an adversary who is already defeated. We're dealing with an adversary who has already been cast down. That's what Jesus said. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Okay? Because the enemy has to use deception and lies to try to convince us that he's something that he's not. If he can get us to believe that he's something that he's not, then we'll put our faith in him and doubt God's ability to overcome him, even in our own lives. The reason why many people don't get free from addiction, for example, is because the devil has convinced them that the addiction is greater than their God. That somehow God's weak and God's not capable. And a lot of times it's because we have misplaced faith. We're putting faith in ourselves to keep ourselves free rather than in the power of God who can keep us free. And so the enemy is a mastermind at deception. He's been doing it a long time. So with this battle that we're engaged in is against an adversary who's already been defeated. So the title of the message today is The Already Defeated Foe. The Already Defeated Foe. In Acts chapter 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word oppressed means to exercise dominion against. So the enemy had used dominion against people. He had ruled over people, and people who are not born again, he can still take captive at his will. Are you hearing me, somebody? He can mess you up if you're not a born-again believer, amen, and you don't keep yourself under the authority of God, hear me, because he's trying to get us to listen to him, because he's a usurper of authority. He's been stripped of his panoply, but he will look for a vessel that's willing and available to allow him to do his business through. And he looks for Christians to do the same, doesn't he? And so, again, in Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I saw what Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So what does this mean for us? It means, again, that we need to put the devil in his perspective, in his rightful place. And that is under our feet. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Amen. And he has given me his Holy Spirit, and he has authorized me because I am a son. Amen. To have authority and dominion over him. But if I don't believe that, if he can somehow convince me that that is not true, then I will start to believe the lie and I will give him permission to torment me. You see, some people are needlessly being tormented by the devil because they don't understand who they are in Christ and where the devil is positionally now. And so since the devil doesn't have that legitimate authority, and he does have power, but he can't wield it or take advantage of a child of God. All right? Unless, of course, we allow him to do so by cooperating with him. That's why we don't sin. We don't give ourselves over to sin, because then we're giving the devil permission to mess us up, right? So when you're dealing with your next problem, when you're dealing with your next temptation, remember that you're actually dealing with an already defeated foe. He uses lies to try to convince you that somehow this thing is too big, too impossible. You'll never, you won't, you'll never be. You're this, you're that. What does God say? This is a truth war. We are engaged in a battle for your minds, amen, for our minds. The devil wants your mind, God wants your mind to be stayed upon him. So the enemy uses these lies to defeat his enemies. Now, hear me. He can't defeat you if you know what is true. If you know what is true, the devil can't defeat you. So he's trying to keep you and I from knowing what is true. Right? Because it's a truth war. Truth is what's real, what's authentic. Okay? So he fakes things. He sets up facades. He's a master at stealth, a deception. And if he can get us to, he can convince us that somehow that he's who, you know, that he's somehow bigger or greater than God, then we start to put our trust in the lie. Why do people worship Satan? Because somehow they believe that he's greater than God or better than God. Yeah. That somehow the devil has convinced people that he's the God of the underdog. And yet Jesus was the one who reached down, amen, and became like us. Took upon himself the form of a servant, and he served people, and he helped people, and he delivered people. Amen. And he broke the yoke. He broke the bonds of oppression off of people's lives. He healed the sick. Amen. He even raised the dead. He was the one that went out of his way to find the woman at the well. Amen. Who was an outcast. And he went to her. Amen. And he raised her up. Because Jesus is really the God of the underdog. The devil has lied to people and said that God's against you and the devil's for you. You see, he doesn't have legitimate authority, so if he can convince you to receive one of his lies, then he can usurp that authority that belongs to you, take it and use it against you, and against you and against those that you love. So he can't continue to push you around if you know the truth. If you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you know that you're dealing with a defeated foe. That my Lord Jesus Christ has defeated him over 2,000 years ago. Amen. At the cross. Hallelujah. And that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And that's why we go in his name representing his interests. If we're representing his interests, we're under his authority. Then the power of God will flow through our lives. Amen. And destroy the works of the devil around us. Amen. Now, how many have ever watched those North Korean parades they have? With all the weapons and the missiles and the, you know, some people have done some investigating into that. And they've discovered that a lot of those missiles are just hollow tubes. They use propaganda. They use deception to prop themselves up to try to appear that they're more powerful than they actually are. I just did a little research also on the Russian, you know, Federation and their weapons and their air force and the things that are going on right now in Ukraine. From my understanding and the research that I've done, they actually do not have air superiority. And that's why they are being hindered like they are, because they have to have air superiority in order to accomplish their mission the way that they had intended to. But we're coming to find out that they're actually not as powerful as they had presented themselves as through propaganda. And they were doing some research even into some of the propaganda in the films and the things that they're showing these hypersonics and these, and even some of the so-called modern aircraft that were nothing more than wooden models under certain lighting conditions that were supposed to be something in their arsenal. Whether or not that's true, we do know for sure that propaganda is a very powerful tool that people use to deceive the minds of others by propping themselves up, amen, to make themselves look bigger than they actually are or more powerful than they actually are. So what? So their enemies don't touch them. So they back down. So they can bully them. You see, a bully is actually an insecure person. So he has to use his strength to dominate others because he's insecure. And he's afraid that if he doesn't do that, then somebody will dominate him. But if you stand up to a bully, they back down. The devil is a bully. The devil is bullying many people through fear, isn't he? He's bullying people, pushing them around, tormenting them. And it's because they don't realize often who they are or what God has already accomplished on their behalf, what Jesus has done for them, and how they can actually be free from the power of the devil. They can be free from the dominion of the devil. They can be translated out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of light. So the enemy uses fear and bullying, even verbal bullying. You see that today. You can't say this, you can't say that, or else. Well, God gave you and I a right to speak. A right to free speech, amen? I don't need the government to tell me whether or not I can speak. That's an overreach. That's illegitimate authority. God has designed us and given us sovereignty over our bodies, over the decisions we make, amen? And then the devil, though, doesn't like that. He wants to control. He wants to manipulate. And he wants to use people for his business. And he knows that the only way he can get back at God is to get a hold of people and hurt people. And if he can get a willing vessel to cooperate with him, then he's being successful to some degree. But we know how it ends, don't we? We've read the end of the book. Amen. His time is short. Jesus is coming to rule and to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And he has all authority in heaven and on earth. So if your enemy can successfully convince you that his capability is greater than yours, then he can defeat you without ever firing a shot. Does that sound familiar, that phrase, without ever firing a shot? Or at least convince you to leave him alone. Let's just not say anything. Let's just not do anything. Let's just hold hands and sing Kumbaya and let's get along. Let's not oppose evil, right? Let's just kind of find a happy place with it. Cohabitate is the word today. People are cohabitating. You know. How many know that light and darkness do not mix? Either you're in light or you're in darkness. Because those gray areas, watch out for those gray areas, right? You and I need to understand that what we're facing with, even when we look at the scale of things that are happening throughout the earth with the governments, it's a big propaganda war. It's an information war. Is it not? Who will control the media can control the minds or the thinking of the people. Unless somebody has the capability of still thinking for themselves and being a critical thinker even and say, well, let me examine this. Let me just don't accept this at face value. Does this line up with the word? Does this line up with what is true, what is authentic? Or is this just another smokescreen, as they say, of the enemy that's trying to get us to believe the lie as though it were true? So he can dominate us. Again, he's a bully and he's looking for somebody to push around, somebody he can control. And he hates people that stand up against him. That's why they hated Jesus, because he stood up against the devil. He stood against the evil. Amen. He destroyed the works of the devil. So the world hated Jesus and they're going to hate us too if we stand up for what is right. It's no mystery, right? We know this. But who are you going to believe and who are you going to stand for? The winner or the loser? How many know the winner takes all? His name is Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. Hallelujah. So the enemy is good at stealth and setting traps. Psalms 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will what? I trust. Surely he, the Lord, shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Now, I have talked about trapping rats before in our ceiling when we were in Korea. But I've also been an avid mouse trapper. And there is a technique to mouse trapping, you know. And you have to know how to set the trap. Use the correct bait. Because, you know, it seems to me that those mice are smarter than you think. How many would believe with me that maybe somehow those mice know that that's a trap? And so they very craftily come and they try to take the bait without getting snagged, right? I've seen it. I was like, how did he get that off of there without getting clobbered, right? So then you get smarter. You start putting peanut butter on there and things like that where they have to work at it, you know? They can just lick that right off sometimes, right? So in other words, the mouse sometimes is mindless and goes right into the trap and boom, he's taken, right? No questions asked, didn't even give it a second thought. He just saw the food and went for it. Are you following with me so far? That's kind of how sin is, isn't it? Sometimes we're just so gullible, we just go and swallow it, and next thing you know, we're in the trap and not even realize how I got here. Because the enemy knows how to set a trap. He's an expert at it. So what you need to be able to do is discern the trap. And sometimes these mice are able to discern the trap. And so they think, well, I know it's risky, but man, that looks pretty good. Maybe I'll take a chance on this. Are you following me? I'll take a chance on this in hopes that I'll actually get the goods without being caught. I'll take the bait without the consequences. I don't know about you, but I've had those temptations. I've fallen prey to that a few times in my life where I thought I could get away with it. I know it ain't right, but who's going to know? I can get away with this. And you know what? The thing is that we do get away with it sometimes. And this is where the deception lies. And this is how the enemy draws you in deeper. Are you hearing me? Is that it seems like I'm getting away with it. It seems like nothing's happening. So, hey, maybe I can just keep doing this without consequence. You know, the trapper, he has to convince the animal that what's in the trap is really desirable. He presents sin as something desirable. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation. And so, again, sometimes people are flirting with sin because they think they can avoid getting caught. They believe they can beat the trap. Galatians 6 and 7, you could probably quote it with me. What does it say? God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 and 12, when a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it is safe to do wrong. You see, when there's a breakdown of justice, it breeds more injustice, doesn't it? It breeds more crime and lawlessness. In verse 12, but even though a person sins 100 times and still lives a long time, I know that those who fear God will be better off. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1 and verse 14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The lust of the eyes, the mouse sees the bait, knows it's a trap sometimes, and says, well, I'll try to get it anyways, and hopefully I'll be able to overcome the trap, avoid the trap, and still be able to enjoy the sin, right? But then it says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. In other words, there's a process that takes place where people begin dabbling, compromising a little bit with it without realizing that they're getting drawn deeper and deeper into that trap. And eventually that trap's is going to catch you. You know, the devil's not playing. He's out for blood. He wants to destroy. And we have to be wise, and we have to understand that Jesus loves us. Amen. He wants the best for us. He gave us his word to instruct us in the way that we should go. He's given us his spirit so we can have discernment. We realize what we're being tempted with something. Understand that it's a trap, and the enemy has to use a trap. Why? Because he doesn't have legitimate authority over a believer unless he can get us to compromise by indulging the sin. Are you hearing me? So this is all important that we understand our adversary is already defeated. He cannot make you do anything. I tried, but I couldn't do it. Yes, you could if you relied upon the grace of God. By the ability of God, you can overcome. It is a choice that you make, isn't it? So in verse 16, he says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. In John 8:34, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So when we were sinners by nature, we were slaves to Satan. It was natural for us to live in sin because we were sold under sin. We were born that way. And so if we are born sinners, then we're going to sin. And it's natural for us to sin because we are born with a corrupted nature. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. That's why Jesus came, amen, to deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. To translate us into the kingdom of his dear son, to establish his sons and daughters, to reauthorize us, to give us his Holy Spirit, amen, and enable us to live free from sin. Did you know the power of sin has been broken? Jesus Christ has overcome the power of sin. And the power of sin is broken in the believer's life. And so we have to make the choice who we're going to obey, who we're going to submit to, who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve the Lord or are we going to serve sin? You can't have it both ways. You can't serve two masters. So Jesus came to change that, to bring liberty to the captives. And Jesus said in John 8:31, to those Jews who believed him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide, that means to continue in his teachings, then you are my disciples indeed. Jesus wants people to be free, amen? Set free from the power of Satan, the destructive power of Satan and sin. And he came to liberate us. He paid a price on the cross, amen, with his own precious blood, so that we could walk in complete freedom. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, amen, there is freedom. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the heart that has been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, amen. And when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, amen, then we become sons and we cry out, Abba, Father. We are reconnected to our Father, amen, and reauthorized us by his authority as sons, amen, to enforce his will on the earth, knowing that we are dealing with a defeated foe. And if you don't believe that, if he can convince you that he's not, then you will not have the authority to deal with it. Why? Because you're believing the lie rather than the truth. And that's why the enemy puts on a show. Sometimes even at the halftime during the game. Right on full display now. Satanic rituals at the Super Bowl. He puts on a show to do what? To magnify evil, to magnify himself, to magnify what he's doing, to try to convince somebody and other people that somehow he's God, that he's all powerful, he's omnipresent. Are you hearing me, somebody? And why does he do that? Because he knows that he's a defeated foe, but if he can convince you that he's not, then he can win our allegiance and he can get people to serve a loser. You see, the devil is pretty successful because he's been doing a long time, you know. He's been at it a long time. He's got a lot of people. He's got many of the masses right now that are already, you know, bowing down to the spirit of Antichrist. And how does he do it? Through lies, through propaganda, through deception. But a believer who knows who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, they know that he doesn't have that authority over me or that power over me. And I'm not certainly going to give him any permission, amen, by indulging him and indulging sin and giving him an opportunity to destroy my life and the life of people I love around me. So when you're tempted, you need to understand that, wait a minute, it's not going to turn out for good. You're not going to avoid the trap. The trap eventually will catch you. You think you're getting away with it, but you're only getting away with it for a while. And eventually that thing is going to snap and you're going to be caught up in that thing. And now you've got a bigger problem. God loves you so much. He doesn't want his people. He doesn't want his children indulging things, amen, that are destructive. So our view of spiritual warfare, we talk about spiritual warfare, needs to be from an understanding of what Jesus has already accomplished for us. Not what we can accomplish for him, but what he has accomplished for us. Because he's the one that's overcome the enemy of our soul. He's the stronger than he that overcame the strong man, stripped him of his armor, amen? And it says that he has made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him at the cross. You understand that sometimes enemies will be captured and they will be stripped down naked and shamed and caused to walk naked before the applauding crowds, exposing their shame, shaming them. Do you understand? What's happened is the enemy has no clothes. The Lord stripped him. Colossians 2:15, here it is, having disarmed principalities and powers. Jesus, he made a what, public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The word disarms means to refer to the act of stripping one's garments off to the point of complete nakedness. Jesus stripped his armor to the point, and the principalities, right, that were in opposition, to the point of complete nakedness. His armor's been removed. And that was Luke 11:21 that it was talking about. I'll just read it again. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and what? Divides his spoils. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. He's overcome. Hallelujah. And he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have difficulty in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see, the enemy uses people against people. And so sometimes we have to deal with that. Sometimes there's persecution. But you and I are dealing with an already defeated foe. So we should have confidence in our panoply, in our armor, because we have the armor of God. The full armor of God. Amen. We are to put on the full armor of God. Hallelujah. In other words, you need to pray that God will arm you, that he will clothe you. Amen. With his armor. Hallelujah. Put it on. Just like you do in a garment, you do it in prayer. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, your offensive weapon, to defeat every lie. Every lie of the enemy can be defeated by the truth. But if you don't know the truth, then the enemy can continue to defeat you. But once you know the truth, once again, then the enemy can no longer push you around. How many think it's a good idea to study the Word? To know the Word? To get the Word in your heart? Yeah. There it is, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, all authority, what, is given unto me. So our confidence should never be in our own wisdom, in our own cleverness, in our own ability, but in the ability of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. We put our confidence in the truth, in the Word of God. And so overcoming a spiritual war is only possible when we recognize, first of all, that Jesus is Lord, that he is Lord, and Satan is defeated. He's going to try to flip-flop that in your head. You know what I'm talking about? That somehow Satan's on the throne and God is somehow weak and just kind of floundering around. No, it's actually the opposite. But he's a mastermind at deception and propaganda, so he's convinced a lot of people that he's something that he's not. You know, I use the illustration of the puffer fish. You know, it's just a small fish, but the puffer fish puffs himself out to make himself look bigger than he is. Right? So hopefully he can intimidate. Or even bully, right? The other fish. But again, like I said earlier, a person who is secure in the Lord, who knows who they are in the Lord and who the Lord is in them, they have perfect peace. They have, amen, love in their hearts. Amen. And that love, the love of God, casts out all fear. So we're not walking around in fear and phobia. Amen. We're walking in freedom. Hallelujah. Peace of heart with the Lord. And so a secure person is a person who's secure in the Lord, who is strong in the Lord. A strong person in the Lord is a secure person. But an insecure person has to become a bully amen, in order to control others around them. And often, without even maybe getting physical about it, just using the propaganda. If you don't, then I will do this, or I'll do that. So often people are defeated even just by threats without ever having, you know, engaged in any kind of combat with the enemy. Amen. Just the threats of war sometimes will shut people down and scare them, intimidate them. And if they can defeat the enemy in their minds, they've already pretty much won the war. Isn't that what's happening? What is going on over there in Ukraine? I think there's a demoralization taking place. They're trying to demoralize the Ukrainian people so they don't fight. Make it think that, oh, it's not worth the sacrifice. We're going to have to watch and see what happens over there. I believe we should be praying about the situation, amen? That God will intervene, because there's a lot of people that are suffering right now on both sides. God's not willing that anyone should perish, including the Russian soldiers that are there. Many of them, because they were told to be there and they haven't any other choice. They're being bullied into doing that. And I'm not here to take sides with either one, because I think there's problems on both ends of that, to be quite frank about it. But we need to be praying, amen, and doing what we can to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others around us. We need to be enforcing what Jesus has already accomplished. Amen. We need to be telling people that, listen, you don't have to be bound by that anymore. God can set you free. Amen. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Jesus Christ died to save you, amen, and to deliver you from the power of sin so you can walk in freedom and liberty in the Lord. Hallelujah. Enjoy abundance of life, free from guilt and shame and condemnation. God wants us free in our hearts. Amen. I don't live in condemnation anymore. Why? Because I trust the Lord. I trust the Word of God. What God said is what I'm going to believe. And when I have faith in the Word of God, it produces faith in my heart. It produces peace. So we got to believe the truth and quit listening to the lie of the adversary. Listening to that other voice, if you will. So the devil can never be successful against us as long as we refuse to cooperate with him. That's it. Remember Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. No place in me. He doesn't have a chance. Why? Because he simply would never cooperate with him. He wouldn't listen to him, even if it seemed like a good thing. Well, you're hungry, Jesus. Why don't you turn these loaves into bread, these rocks into bread, right? These stones into bread. Well, Jesus wouldn't listen to him. Why? Because it was the source. He's not going to listen to that voice. He listened to the Father. And so as a result, the enemy left him. Why? Because he says, I don't have an audience here. I don't have a way in. He's not going to cooperate with me, so I'm not wasting my time anymore. And the same thing is true about you and I. If you and I will take a stand for righteousness, for the truth, amen, and hold on to Jesus and call on him in our hour of weakness or temptation, the Lord will rescue you. He'll always make a way of escape that you'll be able to endure it. And so we need to rely upon the ability that God will supply us. If we call upon him, we will be rescued, we'll be delivered, we'll be saved. So the enemy has to know that with you, he doesn't have an audience either. With you, he has no place. He doesn't have anybody that's willing to cooperate with him. Are you hearing me? And so the devil is smart enough to know that if he doesn't have an audience, he's going to quit talking to you after a while. Speak to the hand. Romans 6:11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do you believe that in Christ that you are dead to sin? Yeah. Amen. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, amen? How many know that our body is not for exhibition? It's the temple of God. To keep your body pure, separated, amen, unto the Lord, for His use. Sin is no longer your master, verse 14. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Oh, hallelujah. So if we are living dead to sin, the devil has no place to operate in us or through us. 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes and slip up once in a while. He's talking about you don't live a life of habitual sin if you are a child of God, because the seed of God is in you. Amen. And when you fall, amen, you run to the Lord right away and you say, Lord, forgive me. Aren't you glad He's merciful? He's just to forgive us. So those of us who have the divine nature in us, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell. Amen. We don't continue to practice sin. So he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. All right. What does a true believer do? A true believer denies his sin nature. I could indulge it, but I choose not to. Why? I don't want to give the enemy any place. I don't want to give him permission. That thing that he's offering on the trap, it may look attractive, but it's not. It's deadly. We need discernment. We need the Holy Spirit, amen, to help us to see clearly. When we walk, we need to continue to abide in the Lord throughout our days, so that when we're presented with a temptation, we'll recognize what it is. We'll see the trap. You know, I know I like to pick on those car dealers, but sometimes you go to the car, you know, dealer, and they have strategies. They teach these guys how to take your money, basically. But, you know, one of the things is the first thing they want to do is get your name. So they want to make it appear like they're being personable with you, you know. So what was your name? All right, Debbie. And then they start calling you Debbie by your name. Because we're really here to help you out of your money. I mean, no, just to help you get into a car that you can afford. So they use, not all of them, but there many of them are trained actually in the art of deception. Let's face it. I was in sales for probably about 3 or 4 weeks, and that was all I could tolerate. I mean, some people are good at it, and there's nothing wrong if you're a salesman, as long as you're an honest salesman, right? But there's this deception, though, that they teach them how to fool people, how to trick people into thinking that somehow they're looking out for their best interests, when actually what's at stake is the bottom line for them. Yep. How much money can I get out of this person? That's how the devil operates, you see. Whatever he does, whatever good thing he does for people, because sometimes he does good things for people too, you know. Oh, yeah. We'll help people. We'll feed people. The terrorists will feed people because they have an agenda to get them on their side. See, the enemy always does something with an agenda. He'll give you something good, but in exchange for something worse every time. It's never worth it. So we're going to finish with this today. James 4:7, what do we do? Very simply. Therefore, what? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit means to subordinate or to obey. In other words, obey God and resist the devil. Obey God. Can everybody say, obey God? Resist the devil. Obey God and resist the devil. It's really that simple. Who you serve, who you choose to serve, who you bow down to, what voice you choose to listen to, will determine the outcome of your life. God has a plan for you. God has good in store. God wants to only do good for us. Did you know that? God only wants to do you well, especially in the end. But God always does good. He's good all the time. That's not just a cliche. That's true. God is always good. So we got to get to a place where we realize that the enemy may be giving me something that looks very delightful. It looks very attractive. And yet, I have to recognize, though, that it's a trap. I have to be wise. I have to be discerning about the situation and know that if I indulge this, I may get temporary pleasure or satisfaction, but eventually it will come back to bite me. That's just how he works. So God help us to be wise. You know, Paul told Timothy, your grandmother and your mother Eunice, was it? They taught you the scriptures from youth so that you'd be wise unto salvation. So you know the truth. You know what was real, what is authentic. And when you're presented with a lie, you'll be able to just pick it out. You'll know that, wait a minute, that's not of God. Because sometimes the enemy is so close, you know, to the real thing. And sometimes he even quotes scripture. Imagine that. He knows the Bible. So we need the discernment of the Spirit, amen, and the Word, so that we can avoid the trap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I want to read this to you. I sent this out yesterday. But 2 Timothy 2:24 says, a servant of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, that would be you. Okay. Must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Thank you for being patient with me, by the way. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's hearts or their hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. You see, it's about choices, isn't it? The devil can't make you do anything unless you're not saved. If you're not born again, then he can take you captive at his will. But guys, this is our assignment. Amen. To go to the lost sheep, to look for those, amen, who are lost, and to share the truth, to share the gospel with them, to share your story with them. Amen. Let people know what God has done for you. God gives you opportunity. If you're looking for it, you'll find an opportunity, an open door. Amen. Because people need to know that, listen, freedom is available to you. Freedom from the devil is available to you. Freedom from sin is available to you. Eternal life is available to you in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, a lot of people are going through life bound up and they don't know that there's actually a way of escape. They're not aware of it because nobody has come and shared the truth with them. God, would you help us to share the truth, to speak the truth in love to people that we run into everywhere we go. God, that we'll be faithful stewards of that which you've entrusted to us. There you can share your story with others. You can let people know what God has done for you. Amen. And if he's done it for me, he can do it for you too. God wants people to be free. He wants people to be saved. Amen. He wants people to be healed. He wants people to be delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. And you and I have been authorized by our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned, amen, anointed and appointed to be salt and light wherever he has placed you in this world. Amen. Where you work, where you live, in your family, God has appointed you, amen, there. Hallelujah. To be salt and light, to be an influence for the kingdom there in that place. And as we call on the Lord for his power, his ability, amen, we'll be able to minister by the power of the Spirit, and lives and hearts will be changed. Because you and I can't change anybody, but the Lord can. And he'll work through anybody that's a willing vessel. How many willing vessels are here today? Say, Lord, here am I, send me. Hallelujah. Use me for your glory, Lord. Hallelujah.